The more of God's word that we read, study, and apply, the more our minds will be renewed in Christ Jesus. Now listen to this, guys. Can't do it by yourself. Coming to church is very important, but you have to take time out to read, study, and apply God's word.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is Blessings and Curses and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Everybody, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, I'm reading out of the NIV. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Dear Father, we come to you today and we give you thanks, God, for the people who have attended this church today. Lord, we pray that you'll open our hearts and we ask, God, that we will receive from your word. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. So in this first section here, I want to talk about 4 points on renewing our minds. Anybody know what it means to renew your mind? It means to change your attitude and your thought pattern. To change your attitude towards things and your thought pattern as you used to see them. And what we're going to be talking about today, we're going to be talking about seeing the world and our circumstances, our lives, and other people's lives from the mind of God. Okay? So when we're talking about renewing our minds, we're talking about focusing on the things that God wants rather than the things that we want. We're talking about focusing our minds on the things that God thinks about rather than the things that we are thinking about. First of all, we must first surrender to God in order to renew our minds. Remember in verse 1 it says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Listen, if you don't surrender to God, you're not going to be thinking like God. You're not going to have a chance to hear from God because you're not surrendering. You're fighting what God is trying to tell you. You could be sitting in church all day long, all week long, but if you haven't surrendered to God, your mind is going to be drifting in church. So the first step we must do in order to renew our minds is that we must first surrender to God. If you don't surrender, then you're going to be fighting the will of God in your life. You have to surrender. You have to open your heart to God. Point number 2 is we must study God's word. How can you get a fresh perspective in your life if you're not reading the viewpoints of God? God reveals himself in his word. You want to think like somebody, you need to read about somebody. You need to read about their ideals pertaining to life. And God gives us his ideal on life. It's not just an ideal that God reveals to us. It's his will for our lives. Okay? So we must study God's word in order to renew our minds. These are important steps, and I hope you guys receive this today. Otherwise, you could sit in this church for the rest of your lives and not receive what God has for you because you have not surrendered and you have not studied his word. But third, we must obey God's word. It's not enough just to know something. You have to act upon it. In James chapter 1, verses 23 and 20 through 25, we read, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Now, it doesn't say that the disobedient's going to be blessed, now does it? It says that the person who looks intently, what does it mean to look intently at something? It means to have an intention of applying it to your life, does it not? It means that I'm going to look at this situation and I am going to do something about the situation. So when God reveals something in his word to you and you hear it in your heart, you must now look intently at what he's saying to you with the intentions of applying it to your life. All too often we hear something in church and we look at the person next to us and we say, preacher man's talking to you today. Well, how come it is that you received it and the other person did it? Perhaps it was God talking to you about that situation and that's why you got it and they didn't. Because I will tell you this, if God wants you to hear something, you will hear it. You will hear it, but will you act upon it? So you must obey God's word when you hear it. Otherwise, you're just throwing it to the wind. And when you do act upon God's word, you will not only be blessed by that, but you will have the renewing of your mind taking place because you will see the blessings that God is leading you into. And you will say, wow, God's word is working in this situation. Number four, we must apply God's word. Now, see, there's a difference between obeying God's word and applying God's word. Okay, obedience is when we're told to do something, but applying is when we use something for a situation, is it not? So in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, we read, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Listen, guys. Whenever you're in a situation and you're not sure which way to turn, don't go by the world standards. Don't be thinking like the world. Don't think you need to lie your way out of it, steal your way out of it, connive your way out of it. Apply the word of God to the situation. Apply the word of God. The word of God will penetrate. The word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword. The word of God can cut things out of your life that don't need to be there. Okay, but it can also penetrate through to your heart. Now, in this next section, I want to talk about applying God's word to renew our minds because I think this is important. I think this is very important for us. And I praise God that we are here today to receive this word because I'm going to tell you something. When you get your mind renewed by Christ Jesus, your whole life is going to change and the people around you, their lives are going to be affected by your renewing of your mind. Okay, your children's lives will change. Your friends' lives will change. But only if you start applying God's word to renew your mind. See, it's up to you, the individual, is it not? I can't do it for you. So, first of all, we have to think positive thoughts. Philippians 4:8 reads, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy," think about such things. Wow, that's pretty simple instruction, isn't it? Or maybe I misread that. Maybe it said we should be concerned night and day about all of our problems and all of our woes and all of our worries, and just let those things consume us. Is that what that says? Maybe it says that we should call other people up when we're having a bad time and complain to them. Is that what it says? No, I think what it really says is what it says, and that whatever is true, whatever is true, what's true? Surely you have things in your life that is true, right? You have Jesus Christ in your life. He's the truth. Whatever is noble, what's noble? Doing the right thing, is it not? Whatever is right, you don't want to think about injustice, do you? whatever is pure. Don't be thinking about impure stuff. Turn that stuff off on your radio. Y'all listening to that music and the words coming out, filling you with pride. Listen to that man, how he sings that song. Listen to that woman, how she's talking about the party she's going to tonight. Listen to this song. Watch this TV show that shows immorality. No, we don't want to watch that stuff. We don't want to listen to that stuff. That's not lovely. That's not pure. That's not noble. That's not right. That's not true. That's not admirable. That's not even praiseworthy. Turn that junk off. Don't be renting those R-rated movies. It's filling your head with junk. Come on, man. Junk in, junk out. You watch sex on TV or in a movie and tell me you ain't thinking about sex in your mind. I got your ears like vibrating now. I see some of them getting all red and perky. You watch cuss words in movies. You see your language starts changing to cuss words over time. Well, everybody else is doing it. I'm not everybody else. I've been born again in Jesus Christ. I'm not everybody else. I'm in the world, but I'm not in the world. Why do you guys want to be in the world thinking about these negative things? Think positive thoughts. Don't you want to be happy? It starts up here. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about, but you don't even know that you know it. You could see people in far worse conditions than you are laughing and having a good time, and you don't even understand how they're doing it. It's because their thoughts are positive. There's people with disabilities out there that are happier than people that don't have anything wrong with them at all. You know I'm telling the truth. Because they don't let their situations get them down. They don't let their thoughts get them down. Some Christians fail to discipline their thinking. They allow negative thoughts to dominate their minds. You let the negative dominate your mind. You got all kinds of good things that you could figure out to think about. But you don't want to do that. You want to think about your problems. And before you know it, that becomes your pattern of thinking. That's all you're doing 24 hours a day. Woe is me. Woe is life. Oh, there's nothing good to think about. I think I'll just sit here and make myself a nervous wreck. And then I'm going to make somebody else a nervous wreck because I'm going to call them up and tell them how I'm thinking. Why? Why do you want to be that way? I don't want to be around negative people. I want to be around people that say, I'm with you on this and I will help you on this and I believe in what you're doing. Christians must take deliberate action by replacing negative thoughts with positive ones and by remembering the promises of God in His Word. There's all kinds of promises in God's Word. For every situation, for every circumstance, there's a promise in God's Word. There's something in God's Word that you could be dwelling on instead of the negative thing that you're thinking about. Why do you even want to go into that negative world? I don't even understand it. There are so many blessings in our lives, but we want to focus on the negative. Focus on the negative. Why shouldn't I wake up miserable, Pastor James? That's my right. Well, it is your right. I have no control over your thoughts, but please don't be calling me up with them. Don't spill your negativity in this church or in my life or in my family. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear your bad attitude. Don't want it. Don't need it. And you have no right to share it with me. That's my right. I love you. And I wish you were having a better day. But don't come to me telling me, oh, I didn't get no sleep last night. That's why I'm treating you bad. I had a bad day at work, and that's why I snapped at you. I don't care what your day at work was when it pertains to you being mean to me. That ain't my business. Handle it. It's your job. It's your sleep pattern. Figure it out. But don't let it bleed over into my life or any of the people that I love. Don't let it do that. So be deliberate with action. If sleep is making you grouchy and negative, get more sleep. If your job sucks, get a better job. But be deliberate. Look into your life and figure out what it is that you can change. And what you can't change, you've all heard this prayer, Lord, give me the strength to accept. That's an action you're praying. And then God will reveal to you, if need be, the action you need to take in the physical world. Because, you know, you can pray about things and God can tell you that this is what you need to do. And then you don't do it. because you're not being deliberate. And then you stay in bondage with negative thoughts. Hear positive sounds. Hear positive sounds. Isaiah chapter 22, verse 14 reads, "The Lord Almighty has revealed this in my hearing." Listen, guys, we were just talking about the radio. Turn off them songs that are talking about parties and fighting and sex and all of that other evil, wicked, negative stuff that you don't need in your life. I know some of you think you need some of that stuff in your life, but you don't. It's all negative. Turn off those shows where everybody's fighting on there and conniving and not getting along. Turn that off. But better yet, turn off the gossip. Quit talking about everybody and quit listening to everybody talk about everybody. Turn off the gossip. It's none of your business what someone's doing in their life, unless they're doing something that directly hurts you or someone you love, in which case you need to take deliberate action, don't you? But talking and squawking about it's not going to change it, right? So quit listening to gossip. Quit listening to negative things coming in your mind. You don't need that stuff. Mind your own business and your business will mind you. 3, see positive sights. Again, we were talking about the television set. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Listen, when you focus on Jesus, you're focusing on something that's pure and beautiful and lovely. That's what you're doing. You're focusing on Jesus, and your mind starts to renew automatically because your thoughts are on Jesus. You need to be watching what Jesus is doing, not what your neighbor's doing. Because listen, you guys can get wrapped up in other people's business. But you're not focusing on the real business, the business of God through his son Jesus Christ. Focus on that. And I guarantee you, once you start focusing on Jesus, you're going to see your priorities shift. You're going to have an infilling of the Holy Spirit that's going to enable you to walk the will of God in your life. Once you focus your eyes on Jesus. See, I don't want to see anybody here filled with negative thoughts. It breaks my heart when I see people all flustered, nervous, and worried, and upset, and depressed, and stressed, and tired all the time. Negative thoughts make you tired. Because when you finally decide to go to sleep on Saturday night, your mind is awake with all that negative stuff that you didn't deal with during the day. Why weren't you dealing with it? Because you were too busy listening and seeing negative things. And you filled your mind with more junk. Now you got to deal with the new stuff that you put back in. And it keeps piling up, piling up. Some of you know what I'm saying. We're all subject to it. We're all subject to the traps of Satan and his negative thoughts that he plants in our heads. And he uses the tools of the world to place them there. Some Christians only look for the bad in people and circumstances, seeing only the faults and negatives. Notice how I didn't say some people, I said some Christians. Christians looking for the bad in people and the circumstances, seeing only the faults and the negatives. Man, if I studied any person, including myself, I'd find a lot of those things. I'd find a lot of those things about myself. I don't need anybody else doing it for me. To be a positive person, one must look for the good and look towards Jesus. Listen, there's good in everybody. There's good in everybody. That doesn't always mean that the good comes out. I understand that. I'm not naive up here. But I do know that if we look towards Jesus, he will reveal the good in people. And that's the point that we need to focus on, the good of people. You can't change the bad. I know a lot of you want to change the bad in people, but we're not the ones who can do the changing. Only the Holy Spirit, only God can change people. Now, does he use people and circumstances? Yes, he does. But if you're focusing on the negative and the faults of a person, it's going to be a lot harder to focus on the good. You need to bring out the good in people. You need to bring out the good in people, and the only way you're going to do that is by bringing out the focus in yourself towards the good in people. And of course, looking towards Jesus Christ. You need to speak positive words. Psalms 105, verse 2. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. Listen, if you don't have anything good to say, start talking about God. Because there's nothing bad to say about God, right? So if you have nothing good to say that you can think of, then you should start singing to God. You should sing praises to him. And you should start telling people wonderful acts that God has done and is doing. If you can't think anything about which he's done for your own life because you can't remember, perhaps you can tell of somebody else's praise report. I mean, if you're so forgetful that you can't remember the things that God has done and is doing for you, perhaps you can tell him about somebody else's blessings. But whatever it is, at least do it. Talk about God. I love talking about God. I love that. It's a form of praise to talk about God. We should talk positively, seeking to glorify God by extolling his goodness, love, and grace. That's how you do it. Talk positively. Be positive about your situation. I got a flat tire, but God gave me the resources to get it fixed. You see how you can counter the negative with the positive? I don't like my job, but thank God I have one. But the point is that if you want to be negative, there's plenty of things that you could come up with and be negative. But there are so many things that when we start focusing on God and we start extolling his goodness, love, and his grace, all these positive things start coming out. So I would ask everybody in here today to start speaking positive words over their own lives, the lives of their loved ones and their friends and this church. And start those positive words in prayer. Start speaking positively to God. Listen, God's not in a bad mood. Why are you? Why are you in a bad mood? God doesn't think negative thoughts. If God was to look down upon the world and see what a mess it is, and he does, and he started thinking all these negative things, do you think that he would act upon them? He sees the negative. He acknowledges the negative, but he doesn't dwell on the negative because he formed a plan, and that plan is through Jesus Christ. Now, see, if that works for God, why doesn't it work for us? Some of you aren't getting what I'm saying. See, you have been saved by grace. And no matter how bad it gets here and today, it gets really good at the end. But the non-believer can't claim that. See, you have something to look forward to no matter how bad your life is today. No matter how bad your life is 10 years from now. Because people in your life are going to come and they're going to go. Things in your life are going to come and they're going to go. People in your life are going to die. You are going to die. And if you don't focus your thoughts upon Christ, you're going to be negatively miserable all the way through your walk in life. This is not a picnic that you're in. And you know this. You know that there's going to be a day when Christ returns and he's going to take his church up. That is your hope. That is your positive thought. Focus on those things, knowing that whatever sacrifices you make today through your body by offering it up as an act of worship, that God is going to reward in the next life to come. Because you know what? I don't care how good you got it here and now. Everybody dies. The Bible says it is appointed once for a man to die. So if you want to start with negativity, start right there. Because everything you have that's physical is going to be taken away from you. When you die, you lose it all, do you not? But the Christian has life after death. But if you don't believe that, you're going to start getting negative. And that's why I tell you now to seek God's face and to look towards Jesus, because he is your hope. Number five, we should perform positive deeds. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Listen, when you give somebody a ride to church, or you invite somebody to church, you're not doing it for me. You're doing it for God. You're serving. We were called to be servants. Don't complain about what you asked for. Listen, when you made a covenant with God, you made it through Christ Jesus. You said, listen, I believe that Jesus died for me, and I want him to be the Lord and Savior of my life. Some of you like the Savior part because you're going to have eternal life. But what about the Lord part? See, we perform positive deeds by allowing Jesus to be our Lord. What role does a Lord play in your life? Is a Lord somebody you tell what to do? Or is a Lord somebody that you listen to and you obey? You need to get your priorities straight if you haven't got this one straight. Because if you're asking God or telling God in prayer what it is that you want and need, you got the whole Lord thing backwards. Because I'll tell you right now, if some of you are renting and you have a landlord, that means he's Lord over your land, is he not? And if you cross him, what happens? If you break one of the landlord's rules, what happens? He can exercise authority over you, can he not? If you have a dog on your property and you're not to have that dog there and the landlord finds out about it, he can, doesn't mean he always will, exercise his authority as landlord over your life. And he can punish you appropriately, can he not? And of course, there are legal rules according to the agreement that you made with him as to how far he can go in that punishment. Well, Jesus Christ is the Lord of the believer's life. And if you step out of the boundaries by doing negative deeds that do not line up with the word of God, you have just activated the contract between you and God that gives him authority to take corrective measures. Hallelujah. Are you guys hearing this? Because this is truth that I'm speaking. So perform positive deeds as service to Lord Christ. Positive deeds. Positive deeds does not mean complaining all the time and whining all the time and arguing and gossiping. I hate those things. God hates those things. They're negative. Be strong in the Lord. Have joy in your serving him. Most people perform negative deeds. They are selfishly motivated, dishonest, and displeasing to God. Most people do this. Come on now. A negative deed is something that's selfish, is dishonest, is displeasing to God. Quit thinking of all that negative stuff you could do to somebody else or something you could do for yourself that's selfish or dishonest or displeasing to God. Read your Bible and find out what God wants you to be doing with your life. Then you won't be confused all the time. Think about all these negative circumstances. I'm going to tell you something. If you guys get in the will of God, it won't always be smooth sailing because God will take you over a few waves. And he will do that sometimes on purpose to teach you faith and trust. But I will tell you this. If you are in the will of God in your life, you will always be on a positive track in your life. And all this other junk in the world will start dissipating. Your mind will start clearing up. Now, see, I know some of you are hurting over things in your life that bother you, negative things. And I know that you sometimes believe if you think about them long enough, somehow, some way you could either change them or figure them out. But some things are just too elusive for the human mind to grasp. It's time to start thinking about the positive thing. And not everything that happens that's negative has a positive side, does it? And you can't change that. So why think about it all the time? Replace those thoughts with something positive. And if you can't find something in your life to think about that's positive, start thinking about somebody else's life that's positive. Get some joy somewhere, someplace. We must be truthful ready to lift those who are down and witness for Christ. How can you be a witness for Christ when you yourself are negative? People don't want to follow somebody to Christ who's negative. They're looking for somebody who's a light. The Bible says that we are the light. Now, if you're walking around negative all the time with negative thoughts, then what's going to happen? It's going to spill over into other people's lives. And that's a poor witness. You need to be positive. Not negative all the time. It's not helping you, and it's not helping the people around you. It's a poison. You need to be ready to lift those who are down. Listen, God wants to use you to help somebody else. How can he do that if you're negative all the time? 6, you have to attend positive locations. Psalms 122, verse 1. I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. King David was rejoicing when he was invited to church. How many of you feel joy in your heart when somebody says, let's go to church? Or do you just start complaining? What time is it? Sleep a little longer. See, if we were all a little bit more like David and followed his example, we would be rejoicing when we're invited to places where God's going to show up at. Christians hurt their influence for Christ when they go to the wrong places in search of entertainment. If somebody sees a Christian at a party that they know they shouldn't be at, well, what kind of an influence are they going to be to people? You're not only hurting yourself, but you're hurting the people that see you there. Because right now there's people in the audience thinking, you just don't know my life. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know all of the things that I have to worry about. That's true. I can't get inside of your mind, but I know that I've gone through some stuff that you guys don't know about. And if I was to dwell on those negative things, I would be there a long time. But thank God that those things haven't overtook you. Thank God that those things that are in your past are there, that they're still in your past, that they're not in your present time. Thank God that they're not here. And if they are here, be praising God because you know he's going to get you through. There's a positive side when you have God on your side. Is there not? You may not like what you're going through, and I'm not asking anybody here to like what you're going through or what you've been through. I'm asking you to set your focus on God to get you through those things, to get you past those things, to rid yourself of the guilt of past sins. Jesus took your guilt. Isn't that a positive thought? Jesus took your punishment. Isn't that a positive thought? Jesus took your place on the cross. Is that not a positive thought? It was by grace. Be a positive Christian. Attend church faithfully. Go with God and he will go with you. Listen, I don't want to go with somebody that don't want to go with me. Do you guys want to hang around people that don't want you around? That'd be pretty silly, wouldn't it? Listen, if you think that you can attend negative places and God's going to follow you there and bless you, you're wrong. You're not dragging God to those places you shouldn't be. Now, he may be there because God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. But he's not going to be with you when you're doing those things. When people say, God be with you, what they're really saying is, you be with God and God will be with you. Because you go out to these negative places and negative things are going to happen to you. You want to borrow money, you go to the bank, right? Because they got the money there, right? You don't go to a poor man's house and ask to borrow money, do you? Why? Because you know where to find the money. Okay, you want positive things to happen in your life? You start going to positive places. Because if you start going around positive places, positive things are going to happen to you. But if you go around the negative places, you're going to go to the place where you find negativity. Now listen, the principle is the same, right? You want money? You borrow from a bank, not a poor person. You want positiveness in your life? You go to a positive place. You want to attract negativity? You get around negative people. You get around negative locations. Conclusion. You And you alone are responsible for your attitude. I don't want to hear people say that she or he made me do it, or my job makes me this way. That's not my responsibility. I don't take your paycheck home with me. You do. That's your job. Well, my friend treated me bad. I'm sorry that you got a negative friend that treats you bad. But it's still your responsibility to pick your friend. You said it right. Your friend. Your friend. It is you and you alone who are responsible for your attitude. You can't blame other people. Stop doing it. You and you alone are responsible for your attitude. So you focus on Jesus and let him deal with you. Let Jesus deal with you, guys. He'll figure you out. He'll fix you. Surrender to God. Number two in my conclusion here is renewing your mind starts renewing your commitment to God. Renewing your mind starts with renewing your commitment to God. Come to God today and say, Lord, I haven't been doing everything I should be doing. Come to God today and say, Lord, I haven't been on the straight and narrow with you. I have strayed from the path. I want to renew my commitment with you. Repent, ask for his forgiveness, and then ask for his guidance and give him thanks and praise because he is going to show up and he is going to give you the desires of your heart. But you've got to get that desire in there, do you not? And the desire that God is talking about is Jesus. Listen, Christians need to have the desire of Christ in their heart. Committed to him. You cannot be a blessing to other people until you are a blessing to God. You got to have that love for God. Because you could live a whole life of negativity and wake up one day much older than you used to be, and you say to yourself, where did my life go? A lot of it wasted away in negative thought. And last but not least, number three, the more of God's word that we read, study, and apply, the more our minds will be renewed in Christ Jesus. Now listen to this, guys. Can't do it by yourself. Coming to church is very important. But you have to take time out to read, study, and apply God's word. You have to be vigilant in these areas if you want your mind to be renewed. Stop thinking like the world. Stop thinking those negative thoughts and start thinking the way God wants you to think. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. This is the Amplified Bible version. Let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility. Get rid of that pride. Get rid of that attitude that you got. You ain't all that. You're not going to live forever in this body. So quit filling yourself up with pride with the body you have now. Because it's going to get old. It's going to wither away. It's going to break down. Some of us already have our bodies breaking down on us, don't we? Some of us are hurting physically right now. Jesus is coming back to give you a new body. A body that never wastes away, that never gets sick, that never gets tired. He's going to give you a godly body. He's going to give you a beautiful, perfect body.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.